This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave. Welcome to the World Wide Wave, live from Melbourne, Australia. I'm Tom, joined in the studio with Squirrel. Hey, Squirrel, how are you?
Fantastic.
Good to be here. A big shout out to Matt. Don't worry, he'll be back with us next week. Tonight we stop over in Papua New Guinea, or PNG for short. We'll be speaking with Topsy, a Papua New Guinean-born male living in New Zealand. We'll get his thoughts on a life in Papua New Guinea. We'll also be hearing some tidbits from a former politician in Papua New Guinea. Interesting show coming up, but... Yes. Oh, you have that look in your face like you're going to say something.
I do. Well, I wanted to thank Robert at the front desk as always, and I have a couple questions for tonight.
Questions?
Yes. First of all, which two tribes believe that wisdom from elders in Papua New Guinea was passed orally via semen to tribal youth? There weren't one, though there were two.
Two.
Which country was responsible for criminalizing homosexuality in Papua New Guinea? And my third question is, what was the Papua New Guinea Idol, the TV show's, judge's name when he performed at Sydney's Mardi Gras in 2000? Answers to all these questions and more will be coming up tonight. But if you know the answers, you can always send us an SMS at 0427-JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au.
But, as always, I think we like to get things started with some music. And what does Squirrel have on a selection this evening?
Well, speaking of the Papua New Guinea idol, there's a man named Moses Toa. He has a beautiful voice and is an extremely vocal advocate for gay rights in the Papua New Guinea community. We'll be talking more about him later, but he also is a singer. And this is a song from him called Papua New Guinea, here on the World Wide Wave, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is the World Wide Wave. Tonight we're stopped over in Papua New Guinea. Officially, it is the independent state of Papua New Guinea, and that means it is time for fun, fast facts. Papua New Guinea is located on the eastern half of the island of New Guinea. They are part of the British Commonwealth, and we'll have a bit more to comment on the connection there.
Just like us.
Yes. The British do have a connection to some of the current laws. More on that later on. Now, we've already mentioned that life probably not pristine for the LGBT community. What do you think, Squirrel? Illegal or legal same-sex activity?
British Commonwealth, Christian nation. I'm going to go with illegal, but illegal, not death punishment, but something moderate in the middle?
Correct. Not death punishment. Officially, male same-sexual activity is prohibited by Section 210 of the Papua New Guinea Penal Code. Those caught engaging in anal sex can be punished with up to 14 years imprisonment.
I told you it was minor.
Minor, not a really big deal. Other same-sex sexual acts can be punished with up to 3 years imprisonment. Now, it should be noted that this is one of those countries where the laws are on the books, but they say that they don't go out and witch hunt, that it's not a day-to-day punishment, and that's what they say.
There are drag clubs. There is a small scene.
There is a scene.
Despite it
being
illegal.
It's not quite underground, but it's not exactly out and open. We should also note that our lesbian sisters have a smidge easier in PNG. The law specifically makes mention of male-male same-sex acts. However, there is no mention of female-female same acts.
Oops. Oop.
Now, you were mentioning the HIV epidemic there. There are some changes in place there in PNG. particularly the former leader of the political opposition, Dame Carol Kidu, and I'm sorry, I know I pronounced your name incorrectly, did call for the decriminalization of the homosexualization in early 2012. Her basis for this request was that she believed it would help the fight against the HIV epidemic. So it does look like there's some change, maybe trying to happen. At least they're smart enough to realize that by decriminalizing homosexual acts, that'll allow people to come out, get tested, remove that secrecy, remove that fear from being tested, and get help to more people.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. In fact, I was doing some of the research before the show, and when homosexual acts were criminalized to the point where if a male raped another male, that the victim was in fact also thrown into jail. It was only for 4 months, and he had a lighter sentence. But nonetheless, the criminalization of it was so strong under the colonial laws put in by Britain in the mid-70s, put in by Australia in the mid-70s, put in by both, that, in fact, the victim gets punished as well.
Wow.
In cases of rape, non-consensual homosexual sex.
Crazy. Unfortunately, the fight hasn't quite gone as planned. As recently as January of this year, 2013, the current Prime Minister of PNG has been quoted as saying that it is unlikely that the country would repeal the law. So the battle continues. We will have more on that in the hour. We'll also have more on what Squirrel hinted at. There are not one, but two tribes living in PNG that have some interesting history. We'll speak more about that after this song. What is this song, Squirrel?
This is South Pacific Beauty by AK-47. Brand New Day here on the World Wide Wave. Joy 94.9.
This is Nikki from Canada, where everybody can get married. You're listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
This is Audrey Cochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the World Wide Wave.
Joy 94.9, World Wide Wave, joining us now live via cell phone and Skype, is Topsy in New Zealand. Welcome, Topsy.
Good evening.
How are you doing this evening?
Australia. Oh, I'm good, not too bad. We just have a rainy day today, so for the first time.
Rain is good. Thanks for joining us this evening. We'll jump right into it. Now, you are Papua New Guinean born, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And how long did you live in the country prior to moving to New Zealand?
Oh, I lived there all throughout my life, nearly 40 years.
All right, so you've got a little bit of history. Can you just give us a brief rundown? If you were having a conversation with someone who's never been to Papua New Guinea, who doesn't know what life is like there, what would you say to them? What is gay life like in Papua New Guinea?
It's 10 years ago, it was difficult for gay people to come out. But as the years went through, there's been some progress in certain portions of the population accepting gay people.
Now you say certain portions. What certain portions are accepting it?
Oh, sorry. There's certain sort of like influential people in the communities that has really helped with helping gay people in Papua New Guinea. And one of the ways that they've helped is through the HIV project, because when it started in Papua New Guinea, that's where gay people were mobilized, and that's how they had a voice.
Now, Topsy, you were a manager of this HIV project. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
It was basically mobilizing the community to come out and sort of like do a multi-sectoral approach by bringing all sectors of the community to come in and fight the disease. So the gay population was one of the small segments of the population that were really strong and out there.
And did the other sections work well with the gay section? Were the other people affected by HIV willing to include the gay community in those conversations and in that outreach that you were doing?
Yeah. We had a very effective group called the Poro Support Project, and that was funded by the Australian government. and they put in a lot of money into that project, which mobilized the gay community to come out and fight.
Is HIV very prevalent? Is it quite widespread within the gay community in Papua New Guinea?
It's only a small portion, but they've been very effective with promoting safe sex practices. And as the years has gone by, lots of people have come out to support them, and through their hard work, it's paying off now. Now it's paying off now. That's what I'm reading back at home.
Do you believe that homosexuality being criminalized, do you believe with your experience and your knowledge, do you think that that hinders some gay men coming forward to be tested for HIV?
We can look at it as on a positive or a negative way. On a positive way, it's a sort of like, it's like helping them to come out, and they've got support systems around them to support them to come out. But if you see the range of gay people, there are some who can't come out because of the stigma and discrimination in the community. It's not accepted. And there are some that their communities accept them. So there's a range of gay people in the communities in Papua New Guinea.
Speaking of, did you find for yourself it was easy to be out in Papua New Guinea to the community, to your family, or was that something that was quite different?
It can be a challenge to many because of the different factors like religious, also acceptance in the community. There are lots of various contributing factors that each individual face in the community. So it depends on the communities, the families as well. If they accept them, then some are lucky to be accepted. Some still struggle to be accepted or to come out.
Is that one of the main reasons you moved to New Zealand?
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons, yeah.
And just curious, do you have any insights? We had a listener write in and asked if we knew anything about indigenous or pre-colonization attitudes towards homosexuality. In other words, not the Australian government, but the original Papua New Guineans' attitudes towards it. Did you have any insights or information on that?
I can't really say confirm that because different, there's about 650 different languages.
Wow.
More than a few. We'll bring it to a little bit more current question, and that is, in your experience, you were a manager of an HIV program there, you lived in Papua New Guinea, do you think that it is possible that the law could be repealed in, say, the next 5 years?
That can be yes or no, because there can be political influence as well. Because if the majority of politicians don't accept it, then they can't pass the bills and all that. So there are various contribution factors, social, economic, political, yeah.
And how do you think religion plays into that? Do you think religion is a big barrier in the possibility of the law being repealed?
I couldn't say it's a big barrier, because there are some churches who are very accepting and they support. And so some of the programs, they involve the church in helping this area. So I wouldn't say religion is a major barrier, but there are some that are very accepting.
And when you were doing your HIV and outreach program, can you give us sort of a picture of what it looked like? Were you going out every day, every week? Was this meetings with groups, or were you working with churches or with hospitals? Or how exactly was that program getting its word out?
Yeah, one of the strategies that we used was the ABC. So one of the emphasis that we were emphasizing is for the churches to have more emphasize on the A, abstinence from sex and be faithful to your partners, and the C part where using condoms. They were all the programs that we ran, so we stick to that strategies where we promoted condoms. So that was a strategy how we worked our way around it. So if the churches weren't promoting condoms, then we left it to the other groups, like our groups, to promote condoms.
Okay, I get it. That's great. So they covered the A and the B, and you took care of the C.
Yeah, that's right. So different ways of... You have to be really creative in in the interventions, because we didn't want to promote like problems with different sectors. We wanted to work together, so this was one of the strategies we used here.
Did you find people were accepting of using condoms? Like, they, once you taught them about it and said it's really important, did most people jump on board, or was there hesitation?
At the beginning, when the program started, there was a challenge, but as we progressed, there was some progress in it. Because when we were promoting HIV using condoms, we were not only talking about HIV, but we were talking about pregnancy or sexual transmitted infections. So we sort of like, when we were talking about condoms, we were addressing all those issues. And so it worked. And the number of condoms that were going out from the data we had, it was increasing every quarter. So maybe we would say that was a good sign.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic.
And if you see the number of HIV, people say that Papua New Guinea has got a high prevalence of HIV, but if you see it on a positive note, that means that people are coming out to get tested, and it's in the data. So I see that as a positive progress and a negative.
No, that makes sense. That's a very good spin to put on it, that it may be the highest rate, but it's actually because people are getting tested and you are able to get your programs in.
Yeah, and through the Papua New Guinea government and the Australian government, they've set up counseling services and, you know, where people can go, accessibility to services to get tested. So that's a very great achievement, yeah.
And that's, even though it's illegal or homosexuality is criminalized, it's still safe to get that test done?
Yeah, there's some progress that they are working towards. Some politicians are very proactive in mobilizing the gay community, sex workers, and I would say that it's a big bonus to them because they've moved. There's been a big progress.
Now, we read that while it is illegal to perform homosexual acts, many organizations have said that it's not a law that is... The police don't go out looking to punish you for breaking that law. During your experience in Papua New Guinea, did you find that to be true? Were there, quote-unquote, witch hunts from the police? Or was it one of those things where something had to happen to draw their attention?
I think sometimes the media sort of like portray the messages in a negative way with the police, but there were some individual cases of police brutality, but overall the police department has been really good. And when we had our program, one of our strategies was to involve the police, to educate them and to sensitize them. So there's been a big progress with the police as well, I would say.
So did you actually go to police headquarters and give them presentations and workshops, or how did you...
Yeah, that's right. We invited the commanders and some of the influential police personnel to come into our project, and that's how we started sensitizing them, and we had a very good relationship with them. Even though there were some issues around that, it was not to do with homosexual, but other areas.
Other areas.
Maybe a portrait, but otherwise, after there were some incidents, the police have been really good, really coming and working with the HIV program, so.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for that, Topsy. We really appreciate you coming and taking the time to be on our show and tell us a little bit about the HIV programs that you managed when you were living in Papua New Guinea.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity as well.
No, we appreciate it. And best of luck to you in Wellington, New Zealand now. And congratulations on your graduation tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you. You have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, cheers.
Like us on Facebook at W3Joy or visit us at W3Joy.org.
This is Eve from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, World Wide Wave. This week we are stopped over in Papua New Guinea. Thanks again to Topsy for speaking to us, letting us know his thoughts on PNG. We are going back to something that we mentioned earlier in the hour, and that was two separate tribes in Papua New Guinea who historically have something in common.
What do these two tribes historically have in common that would be of interest to us here on a gay and lesbian radio station, Tom?
Well, it is interesting and unique, I would say. There are two tribes, one the Etoro and the other Sambia, both located in Papua New Guinea, hills tribes, people from the hills. The Etoro are well known among anthropologists because of a ritual homosexual act practiced between the young men and men of the tribe.
Tell me more.
The Etoro believe that young boys must ingest the semen of their elders to achieve adult male status and to mature properly and grow strong.
Potentially true.
Interesting.
Did the other tribe have similar beliefs?
The Sambia people of PNG have very similar beliefs. They take it a little bit further. They believe that heterosexual acts shorten your lifespan.
And that hang on, back up. Heterosexual, you didn't miss, like, as in guy-girl.
Correct.
Acts, as in sex.
Shorten your lifespan.
Don't they?
Where homosexual acts prolong life.
Where's
so basically they believe that heterosexual is giving up of life forces because you're passing
producing
it
child.
On,
I get it, yep.
Etc. Whereas homosexual acts between two men, you're just passing the life force between two men.
So they kept the heterosexual acts to a minimum.
Correct. Interesting only because we find time and time again on our journeys around the globe that there are instances where historically people or peoples have accepted homosexuality in some form or another. And then our friends,
the British,
come along and change things. And I can't dog on the British or the UK because they are clearly one of the leaders in the fight for gay rights in today's society. However, historically, obviously, they were not. And unfortunately, those old laws hold strong in so many of their former colonies.
And they were propagated, for example, in Australia, 1972, 1975, in assisting Papua New Guinea in its legislation, clearly included the criminalization of homosexuality. And that caused people who were working on the rubber plantations and everything else, who were coming in from these villages, thinking this was either they didn't know it was against the law, or they just thought it was all part of what they did naturally, were instantly became criminals because of an Australian-imposed law in Papua New Guinea.
Correct. As recent as, well, I say recent, but 72, 73 is relatively recent. It might have been a while for gay rights. It might be a long time ago. But in modern times, that's not long that Australia decided to impose that.
Yeah, so thank you, Elka, for that question. And if you have any other questions for us, we love learning about all this. You can feel free to SMS us at 0427-JOY-949. You can phone us because Robert's at the front desk ready to take your calls at 1-300-JOY-949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Now, we had just heard a song, again, by Moses Tau. That first one we had heard was Eto Paka Paka, and we've got another one called Kuitu Tetu by Moses Tau, here on the World Wide Wave, Joy 94.9. And that was Kuitu Tetu by Moses Tau, here on the World Wide Wave, Joy 94.9, where this week we are stopping off in Papua New Guinea.
Yes, and we were just recently talking about the days of yesteryore and how things have changed into modern times. We, earlier in the hour, mentioned a former MP of Papua New Guinea, Dame Carol Kumi. She was previously, last year, the leader of the opposition, so not a small-time player. She's a big name, she's got a lot to say, and people listen to her. She was campaigning for the decriminalization of the homosexual legalization law, and she was doing so because she believed that by decriminalizing homosexuality, more people would come forward to get tested to see if they have HIV and to help stop the transmission. We have a little clip from her, and what is she saying here, Squirrel?
Well, this is when she's speaking to Brisbane. Now, this Dame Carol is an extremely interesting woman. She was born in Queensland and married a man who's from Papua New Guinea, who ended up being one of the first indigenous chief justice leaders, lived with him in marriage in Papua New Guinea. In 1994, he passed away. 3 years later, she runs for office.
Wow.
And has been in politics and involved ever since. So she's like just picked up the torch. She's there and really passing a lot of progressively minded laws along. In this clip that we've got, it's off of a public speech that she gave to she came back to Brisbane and was giving a speech, and these are some of her words.
There's a lot of research into sexuality because of HIV. We find that there's a lot of bisexual sexual behaviours in Papua New Guinea and in other countries. And so there are people who tend to be homosexual who enjoy having sex with other men, but they also have a wife and a family. And, you know, it's really important that we don't have these people going underground in one side of their sexual behaviours, because it puts the whole wife and family also at risk. And to me, the issue is that it's about adult consensual behaviours in private. There's a lot of denial going on in all our countries, and they're saying that homosexuality was brought in by the Western world. To be quite frank, that's not true. Anthropological writings make it very clear that, you know, homosexuality did exist traditionally. And often it was ritualized in initiation ceremonies in certain areas of Papua New Guinea. But since the Christian influence and the colonial influence and the British colonial laws kind of turned their back on what was actually recognized traditionally.
If the law is there, it can be used and abused. And if the law is there, people will be reluctant to go out and get go to clinics.
And go to the clinics. Now, that last bit was a public YouTube clip from the SBS, who had gone and interviewed the Dame Carol, and they were asking her, why? Why is it important to decriminalize it? And the answer was, so people get tested, so people feel safe, for public health, and also because it's a consensual activity between two adults.
I could not love what she said more. Historically, there is information that these sorts of things existed and were accepted, and it wasn't the Western society that brought the evil homosexual acts to our country. It was the Western society that made homosexual acts evil.
Although, interestingly, they very much blame the Western homosexual community for bringing HIV into the country.
Fascinating. Interesting. You'd think they'd learn their lesson when it wasn't the Western society that brought homosexual acts, but anyway, they like to blame someone and point the finger elsewhere.
Hola, mi nombre es Felix de Colombia. You are on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is the Worldwide Wave, and we have got a treat, another Papua New Guinean, well, Australian-born, but raised in Papua New Guinean, currently in New Zealander, on the phone with us. Clint, thank you for being on our show.
Yes, as we were speaking earlier, you said that you were interested in speaking to us about your impressions of a young LGBT person coming out to their family in a very Christian conservative country.
Yeah, so myself personally, I was quite fortunate in that I'd come to New Zealand about 10 years ago now. And, you know, it's a much nicer place here, or more open-minded rather. And so for me, I didn't really have those kind of troubles, but it definitely was in the back of my mind, considering that I'd grown up in Papua New Guinea. But I do have a lot of friends and just young guys that I've met through, you know, Facebook and other social media, that are there and that are facing a difficult time in their life. Papua New Guinea is quite a strong Christian country, and a lot of the old thinkings are still prevalent, and it's just quite challenging. And you know, I don't think there's any statistics out there about, you know, how this affects the young people, the young GLBT youth in Papua New Guinea, but, you know, from the young people that I've spoken to, it's definitely not a nice sort of environment.
And by not nice, when you're saying that, for these young people, are we talking about, are they being beaten? Are they being ostracized by friends and family? Is it just not safe to be themselves? What kind of not nice are we looking at?
Yeah, so definitely it's a taboo topic to talk about, you know, in the family. There's a lot of, a lot of stuff does go on, you know, a lot of men having sex with men, or that kind of interaction takes place, but it's all hush-hush, and, you know, if you're out and proud as such, you could quite easily be, a target for any physical violence. And I'm just trying to think of situations.
That's okay. So what you're saying is there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes, and as long as then you close the door, step outside and look like a macho man with a family, that's absolutely fine. But if you go wearing a rainbow flag or attending a youth meeting or something, that you could be very much in danger, or at least bullied.
Yeah, I mean, the whole concept of being gay isn't really well known in Papua New Guinea, but there is a lot of stigma, especially from the church, about homosexuality. So, you know, like, you might be wearing a rainbow T-shirt and people wouldn't have a clue what that meant. if you were perceived to be, gay, like acting camp, or, you know, spotted engaging with another male, you know, in a homosexual way, then that might trigger some sort of verbal abuse, or, you know, sometimes even physical abuse.
Wow. Now, do you think that having role models like the gentleman that we were speaking about earlier, he's a PNG, Idols, and, excuse me?
Moses Tau, yeah.
Thank you. Do you think it's important, and do you think it's having an impact to have people such as himself out and proud in Papua New Guinea?
Oh, definitely. Role models, having role models that are out and proud, would go a huge way. I've sort of kind of grown up in New Zealand, in that part of my life where I also came out in New Zealand. And for me, having role models here was a huge thing, and, you know, seeing them on TV and being accepted sort of in mainstream media, really helped. But I guess the first issue with Papua New Guinea is that homosexuality is illegal. And I know that Dame Carol Kidu is pushing for same-sex marriage recognition, but we kind of need to take a step back and actually legalize homosexuality. And, you know, things can flow on from there.
Yeah, sometimes you can put the cart before the horse, but I guess at the end of the day, as long as they're trying to move forward, that's probably a good thing. Hopefully it's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. And again, yeah, having role models is such a great thing. And, you know, I'm out and proud here and with the Papua New Guinea community here. And, I mean, I face the odd slander from time to time, but no one's sort of brazen enough to face me in person, and those people that just, you know, they go on message boards and whatever, I don't care. I'm happy being who I am, and everyone else that matters to me is supportive, so, you know, and they support me being out and proud.
That's fantastic, Clint, and thank you so much for talking to us, and it's great to hear that you can be out and proud and that you are supported, and we really appreciate you taking the time to be on our show this evening.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good night.
You are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is the Worldwide Wave. We were just speaking with Clint, thank you, Australian-born, grew up, came out in Papua New Guinea, currently living in New Zealand. I like a little multiculturalism in just a single guest that we had here. Up for some more music? I think it might be time. Here we've got Island Sound by Justin Wellington.
Kaboom!
Joy 94.9 Worldwide Wave. That was Justin Wellington. If you were curious, he was born in PNG, now living in Australia.
It's actually exciting he's living in Australia, and I'm noticing that it seems like a lot of people... Now, I don't know if Justin Wellington is gay, but I did notice that our guests were people who have left PNG. And I'm just wondering how much the impact of having a criminalized activity that's globally becoming more and more accepted is having on the gay population in Papua New Guinea.
Excellent question. There does seem to be... Not necessarily... Well, just with the people that we interviewed, they seem to... go abroad, leave the country, just so they could have the comfort of coming out.
That's right. And just to recap, we heard from Topsy, and Topsy was an HIV manager of the HIV project in Papua New Guinea, and also we heard from Clint, and Clint, although Australian-born, had grown up in Papua New Guinea, and we heard a clip from Dame Carol Kumi. So lots of people, lots of different perspectives. I think for me it was most interesting also that the indigenous cultures not just accepted it, but embraced it and assumed it was healthier.
Exactly. Interesting how things change.
Fascinating. And hopefully, with any luck, we're on the crest of a wave again, and things will reverse.
Things are looking up. It is possible.
Always possible. Next week, we are going to be traveling to Canada, and we will be hearing from Judy Virago, a drag queen from Toronto, and we'll also be hearing from in a country where same-sex marriage is legal. Thank you also to Robert and to Elka. And we've got our final song for the evening.
It's for Riding the World Wide Wave. We leave you with O'Shane Sassy, a PNG reggae musician now living in Hawaii.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.